Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It is great to be with you. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. To Fenway Park we go, and Hanley Ramirez.
Across left field. Is it number three? Yeah. It's gone. His third of the night.
Three home runs last night for Hanley Ramirez. And the way Pomerantz pitched last night, they needed all of them. Oh, my goodness. Now, it's terrific. Terrific. John Schaube with the call on ESPN Radio last night as well. All right. It was great to have, it was great to get Bill Hillgrove on. Well, that guest list just keeps rolling on, doesn't it, my man?
You betcha. Working on it. Yep, we will have a little more baseball talk as we get into next week. Well, we can't bypass tomorrow because we got Tony DeFazio back on tomorrow joining us from the Pittsburgh Sports Report.
And Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, on the show as well.
But yeah, we'll get into some baseball talk next week. A longtime Major League Baseball writer, Paul Hagen, who's now with MLB.com, got him set for Monday. And we are also working on, hopefully next week, fingers crossed, to get Jason Stark, baseball writer at ESPN. So,
one of the real greats, Jason Stark. He is always to me one of those must listen to, must read guys. He's right there, must listen to, must read, and he's one of them. Looking forward to getting him on the show. Trying to think. Oh, by the way, Big Ten Media Days next week too. So we'll bring you. It'll be recorded, not live, but we'll bring you James Franklin's press conference from there. Okay.
I think they have what, half going Monday, the other half Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think James is in the Monday group. I believe that's how it played out. So then I'm supposed to speak to the team on Tuesday night, believe it or not. That'll be a doozy.
I'll be like, what took you so long to get up here? 4 o'clock every Sunday. Yeah, we see you there in the back leaning against the wall.
Okay. Now you got to talk. Like, great. Now I have to talk to them. Oh, golly. That's... People always ask me, how much preparation time do you put them? None. Every once in a while on a piece of paper, I'll jot down like, okay, topic. Okay, fine. That's usually how I do it. I even did that with a commencement speech, for goodness sakes. They say, hey, can we see your text? I go, there isn't any. So the commencement speech, I said, yeah, I know, but it's all right.
My words are organic.
Yeah, I says, well, when you do that, I mean, nobody can accuse you of plagiarism. I mean, so they can't sit there, you know, say you ripped off the words from somebody else. You're sitting there not even really sure what you're going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say. What the heck? Look, everything we do in this business is, you know, at least what I do with games, things like that, you ad lib. Now, with that, I don't really ad lib. You think down, okay, certain topics you want to talk about. And these are things I've talked about many, many times in my lifetime. So take, for example, that. It was like 5 years ago I did that. So I wrote down the topics. So the topics, you know, included items such as the two major tests of character in life. I said, so I just had to put down two character tests. And I know what I want to talk about with the two major tests of character. I've talked about it, you know, the entire time to many different groups. Now, totally, you know, the one major test of character is when you're down and out. How do you react? How do you conduct yourself? Do you pick yourself off the mat? Do you then go out and try to attack life? Do you project confidence the entire time? And are you the type of person that stays away from whining, moaning, and complaining about it and carry yourself with a level of dignity that then improves your opportunity to get yourself out of the hole through hard work and circumstance? And that the other test of character in your life is when things are going great. Are you one of the gang, one of the group? Are you somebody that people want to be around? Do you stay away from being obnoxious? Showing off to everybody how fortunate you've been in life. Do you give to charity, time, talent, treasure? Do you give back and have a realization of your good fortune in life? Do you realize how hard it is for somebody else and put yourself in their shoes as they try to struggle and work their way through? And do you mentor and help people? See, that's what I do. What?
Nothing.
You seem stunned.
I always refer to the greatest love of all from Whitney Houston. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Yeah, sure. although, did I ever tell you how I started out that commencement speech?
Yes. Yeah. We were off air a couple weeks ago and we were.
I said, I have two words that will ensure a life of absolute prosperity for you. I said, remember these two words. Merry money.
Powerball.
and the academics in back of me were like, oh. And then I looked, say, for example, you decide to do something silly and you're married for love. I said, then there's some other things we need to talk about. And then I went into the meat of the speech. Yeah. But the effect was get the room to laugh. Oh, the room laughed.
Icebreaker.
Yeah, you got to get the room to laugh and have a good time. And, you know, look, they're all sitting there. And there's another realization you have. Don't go long, right? Because guess what? When you stand up to speak, you're looking around saying they're all sitting there going, I hope this doesn't take long. I want to get out of here. I got a party to go to. So I'm not one that usually gets up and delivers long speeches or anything like that, because I also realize, you know, if you get to the point on things and have a good time doing it, you can make it move. And that's the point. Make it move, because there is a realization that if you switch places and you're sitting in their chair, what would I be thinking? All right. Initially, it's always fine, but there's always like that point. It's okay, wrap it up. Please, wrap it up. Can you do that? Can you wrap it up? I'm going to move on. Orioles beat the Yankees today 4-1. Dodgers, Turner hit a pair of home runs, beat the Nationals 6-3. Phillies and Marlins tonight. Eichhoff's on the hill this evening. I like what he's done. 3.76 ERA. Pirates and Brewers tonight. Twins and Red Sox, Detroit White Sox, Tampa Bay and Oakland coming up this evening.
Those are the two words we used last night before we signed off with Jeremy Hellickson's screen test. Well, he looked pretty gosh darn good last night.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. By the way, Leicester City was 5,000-1 to win the English Premier League. Okay. Now, they say they're never going to do that again. Well, the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament at Lake Tahoe, Charles Barkley has been listed as a 6,000-1 chance to win the tournament. Now, Barkley is a terrible golfer.
That swing he has, I can't, I mean, I don't golf, and I can't figure it out. You golf, I mean, describe his swing.
I can't. I don't know what he's doing.
It's almost he's trying to stop. When he gets two-thirds down, looks like he's almost getting ready to stop and reset himself.
Last year, he finished 90th out of 91 golfers. Now, model Kim Alexis was the one that finished 91st. But I think that's okay. He probably drew a better, bigger gallery.
Hey, who had the gallery following him last year was Justin Timberlake. Don't know if he's going to be back there this year or not.
Well, Timberlake can play.
He sure can.
Timberlake, I believe, is a scratch golfer. What do they have here? Mark Mulder and Marty Fish, the pro tennis player, are the co-favorites at 3-1. Steph Curry is 6-1. Eric Gagne, the former pitcher, 5-1. Andre Iguodala and Del Curry are also in the field at 30-1.
The name that comes to mind for me is who's won that quite a few times. Is it Rick Monday?
Rick Roden.
Rick Roden. That's her.
Rick Roden is an excellent golfer. I can't imagine even Barkley putting money on himself at 6,001. I mean, let's see.
Michael Jordan's got money to burn. He wouldn't touch that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No way.
He might put $2 on it just to tell Barkley he bet on him. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles and Larry the Cable Guy are 3,000-1 to win. But Barkley, 6,000-1. My goodness, that's bad. 6,000-1. All right. So.
Yeah, he went to Hank Haney one time to try to help with the swing. And
oh, I watched that. It was on Golf Channel. I mean, even Hank Haney quit. Hank Haney's like, oh, no, I don't know. Hey, Barkley, actually, I think Barkley tried. But, wow. Unbelievable. All right. We're going to take a break. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Coming up, final half hour, Jason Rawlinson from PiratesReport.com. Talked to him about the El Buccos, who stormed into the All-Star break and have limped since the All-Star break. We'll talk with him in the final half hour of the show, turning this into a broadcast extravaganza. Well, here it is, what, July the 21st? Yeah, I was doing this day in sports history yesterday. I didn't mention the single most important thing that happened in history yesterday. And that was the first ever moon landing. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin as Michael Collins circled the moon. Yesterday was the, I want to say, the 47th anniversary of it. Penn State's going to play at Purdue this year. Have I ever told the Neil Armstrong story?
You have not.
All right, the Neil Armstrong story. 1999. Purdue decides it's going to have, and Purdue is a great engineering school. When you drive onto the Purdue campus, when we go to Mackey Arena, and actually we can do the same thing. It's really preferable if you actually enter Ross-Ade Stadium from the other side. But Mackey Arena you can enter by making a left with the Neil Armstrong Engineering Building on your left. And you go down a block and then make a right on John Wooden Drive. No offense, but that's strong. Very strong. They have had, Purdue has produced more astronauts than any other major university. So Penn State's playing Purdue out there in 99. And they get to halftime. And at halftime, it was astronaut weekend. And they start on the other side of the field, and they have to run all the way across the field and then wave to everybody. And the next to last guy that they call up is Gene Cernan. Gene Cernan is the last man to ever walk on the moon. Did so with Apollo 17. So Gene Cernan, the last man to walk on the moon, goes jogging on the field, waves, the whole thing, right? Everybody's loving it. And then the last guy up was Neil Armstrong. I'm thinking to myself, this is just great. I mean, you know, I've read Neil Armstrong's book. I read his biography. All right. And Armstrong, now you always heard and always saw how stoic and staid he was, right? He was never, you know, a big emotion guy or anything like that. You know, that's why when they're going to land the moon lander, when you hear, now if you ever hear the tape again, and they'll play, believe me, the 50th anniversary of the thing coming up in 3 years, you'll see the whole thing all over again. But you'll hear, as they're trying to land the lunar module, Buzz Aldrin saying, 60 seconds, 45 seconds, 30 seconds, 15 seconds. Now, what do you think he's counting down? Now, most people would think, well, he's just counting down time to landing. Oh, no. He's counting down how much fuel they have left. Because they're trying to find a spot to put it down, and Armstrong is so calm, cool, and collected that he's telling him he's got 15 seconds to land. He's like, hey, baby, I got this. And he lands it. He goes running across the field, waving to the crowd, the whole deal. And Purdue has that big drum for the band, that huge drum's like the signature of their band. And Armstrong, if I recall correctly, was in the Purdue band, grabs the big drumstick, starts jumping up and bang, bang, bang in the band. I think, wow, look at the emotion of Neil Armstrong. It's pretty cool. He loved it. So that was a mere 47 years ago, the first ever moon landing. I know, I have all sorts of stupid stories, I know.
That's not stupid at all.
Yeah, but that was, you know, all sorts of stories. And that was the day LeVar Arrington blocked a punt with his chest. And he also had an interception in the game. In fact, I was talking to LeVar about that back in April. And we're kidding around about, and then Courtney Brown scored a touchdown in that game too. I mean, the defense literally won that game. That's a great game. A lot of great memories here. Great memories. I don't get usually get into, you know, I mean, I'll tell stories, but I don't get into, you know, too much of the memory thing. You're always looking forward. That's why I'm looking forward to this year. You know, what will McSorley do? Stevens, Barkley, Sanders. I was talking to the strength and conditioning guys about Sanders. Man, they love him. They do. And Godwin and, you know, Blacknall. You know what? One of the first things you look at when you're at Lift for Life is, do you know, is there anybody banged up? You know, is there a problem? Nope, they're all good. I mean, Jarvis Miller, for example, had hurt his wrist in the spring. Still had a mini brace on, but I asked him about it. He says, nope, I'm fine. That's just to protect it. Jarvis Miller grew up across the river from the town where I grew up. And he comes up to me and he says, hey, Steve, did you go back to Enfield? I said, so, yeah, I was there last Wednesday. He goes, oh, I'm going next week. Yeah, sometimes, guys, you get a little slice of somebody from your area. It turns out to be there. They like that. I'm going to see the first-round pick of the Nationals tonight pitch. He's only going to go three innings. Final half hour. Phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565 and some pirate talk. We're brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports bozos of the day. The doctors and officials of the Russian track and field team. We're going to win lots of medals. And we're going to do it using jet fuel. I mean, between 2011 and 2015, they only had 643 positive tests. 643 of them. The system led by Yuri Nagardov, the deputy sports minister and a member of the Russian Olympic Committee's executive board, included several top Russian sports officials. They confirmed allegations that Dr. Grigory Rodenkov, the former director of the Moscow lab, made about the FSB helping cover up doping at the Sochi Games by unsealing bottles previously thought to be tamper-proof to allow Rodenkov to swap out dirty urine for clean urine. Yes. Following the report, Thomas Bach of the IOC said they will not hesitate to take the toughest sanctions possible against individuals and organizations implicated in the McLaren report. The IOC says be exploring legal options to ban of Russia from the entirety of the upcoming Olympics and wanted to consider the CAS decision. Well, you know what? If you're caught doing this, then you should pay for it. For all the athletes, you know, even those with the big red menace, just kidding. If you didn't do anything, then you shouldn't be banned from the games. I'm sick and tired of these blanket, you know, I'm sick and tired of the ignorant, and it is ignorant. And I deliberately use the word ignorant. It is ignorant to ban teams and games and things like that when you're banning people who were doing things right. I'm sorry. That sends the wrong message. You come down hard on those who did. In other words, you ban them for life, which means they can't coach, they can't do anything else, they can't be involved in sports administration or anything like that when it comes to the Olympic Games. They've got to be out. Simple as that. You come down hard on those who are guilty. As for those who are not guilty, you don't ban them. That's ignorant.
Right? And I deliberately am using the word ignorant because it is. Because all you're doing at that point when you ban an entire team is you are grandstanding. That's all you're doing. And anybody who grandstands is ignorant. And that's all you're doing at that point. You are grandstanding. They're all banned. They're all banned. What do you mean they're all banned? Ban the people that had the bad tests. And if it takes more work to find out who they are, then fine. If nobody admits to it, then maybe that is what you have to do. But there's 643 of these bad boys out there. 643. Sean thought there were 8. All right. So bring in Jason Rollinson from PiratesReport.com. Jason, welcome. What's the difference between the Pirate team that roared into the All-Star break, scorching hot, to the one that has limped out of the break?
Well, you can point to a lot of different things. Obviously, when looking at last night's game, you can really point to Jeff Locke reverting to the bad Jeff Locke that seems to occupy every other start from him. You can also point to the offense trying to get something going. You know, at the beginning of the season, the Pirates were very much a chain of hitters. Much like the Kansas City Royals last year, he had from 1 to 8 hitters who could just keep the line going with hits, walks, and getting on base. It was really a focus at the beginning of the year. But the dirty little secret is that has kind of left them over the past month or so, even going into the All-Star break. And you saw that with Clint Hurdle trying to put Gregory Polanco at the top spot last night to try and give the team some kind of spark. John Jaso usually mans that spot against right-handed pitchers, but, you know, he too has been on somewhat of a steady decline over the past month or so. So you do that, plus you factor in the continued struggle of Andrew McCutchen in the 3 spot. And it's really a myriad of things, but it all starts with the starting pitching for the Pirates.
Let me ask you about McCutchen. I mean, a lot of people have talked about this, so this is not foreign territory, but I'm getting as many perspectives as I can. Why? Is it the inability to catch up with the fastball? Is he showing a lack of discipline at the plate? I know they've checked his eyesight. I know they've done that. What is it?
It's definitely a lack of discipline. Andrew McCutchen has now struck out more times than he did in 2013 MVP season in its entirety, so if that tells you anything. He's not getting as many fastballs, and the ones that he does get, he is either woefully behind on or just flat out misses them. Sometimes it's that simple. The bat speed still looks like it's there, in my opinion, and that was what propelled McCutchen to being such a very good hitter. But I think he's either guessing wrong or he's just flat out missing. And at one point, a slow start became a funk, and he is now, in the dog days of that funk for sure.
Conversely, what has allowed Starling Marte to thrive?
Kind of a mirror image of McCutchen, really. Marte always had the free-swinging mindset. He also did not take many walks, but this year he's been a bit more selective. And even just a little bit of course correction in that area has really allowed him to see more pitches. And when he sees more pitches, he obviously gets more pitches than he can do damage with, and that's pretty much propelled him. And, look, that's been a knock on him for a few years now, and no one is asking Marte to take away his aggressiveness. That's what makes him such a dangerous hitter. But that little tweak, that just small step in the other direction, really opened up a lot of doors for him this year.
And then there, you mentioned Polanco earlier. I always have looked at baseball players, and I've talked about this many times, where it's all about adjustments. You can come out of the gate, then they get a book on you. And I think the ones that have longevity are the ones that have the ability that once the league adjusts to them, they adjust back. Is that what we've seen with Polanco, the ability to adjust back?
I think that's definitely a huge part of it. It's definitely a chess match going through the league when you're first breaking in, like you alluded to there. But I think also it's a little bit of the maturing process, the natural maturing process, taking its turn through his development. You think back to his debut, he had a much ballyhooed debut, hotly debated, came up, was hot for a while, struggled, went back down. Last year started to show signs. He had a very good sophomore season, and this year, that third year, the second full season, I think he was able to take a breath at the beginning of the year and really concentrate on honing his craft. And I think he's punched back very well at opposing pitchers who try to get him to chase and try to play on his bad habits. And if he eliminates some of those, which he has, It's a very good counterpunch.
I think one of the bigger differences I've seen in this team from early on, Jason, is that the middle relief bullpen, which I felt was mediocre early, has become a strength for them. Why is it? Is it in part because of the move of Nicasio to the pen, or is it just everybody settled down?
It's a little bit of both. You know, going into the season, I thought they might miss Antonio Bastardo more than they would let on. Bastardo was that left-handed reliever who could match up in the middle, but also give you a full inning and a half, inning and a third, inning and two-thirds. And the Pirates definitely missed that. I think Nicasio, when he came out of that spring with the eye-popping numbers that he had, the Pirates really had no choice but to try him in the rotation. It's just bad baseball if you don't at least try to catch that lightning in a bottle. I think they might have held on to him in the rotation too long. And his pitch selection, that fastball and slider, him being in the bullpen now allows him just to focus on the two pitches that work best for him. He does not have to go out and pace himself, and he can attack, and throw out that which doesn't work. So it's that, plus some of these guys riding in the shape. I think they found a very nice arm, Shugel, that nobody saw coming. And I think Neftali Feliz has been pretty solid all year. Jared Hughes is still very much a question mark, but I think the injection of Nicasio plus the maturation from Shugel has really made that middle relief pretty sturdy lately.
It's been a big plus. How about how they've handled the Jung Ho Gung situation? I mean, he hasn't been charged with anything, but has it had any domino effect around the club, Jason?
I think for him, absolutely. I think you'd be very naive to look at his performance on the field and not think that it would be affecting him. So for him, I think it's greatly affecting him. As far as how the club's handled it, I personally think they handled it very well. Now that the allegations broke, or at least the news broke of the allegations, almost 2 weeks ago now?
Yes.
So they would have put him on the restricted list then. There's been not much movement in the investigation since then, so they would have had to bring him off, but that would be a very bad look for the team. So I think that they handled it well. They made their comment, which is a very good comment, that they're going to cooperate fully with the investigation and let the legal process run its course. And after they've done that, what more could you ask for the team? And I think as far as if it affects the teammates, I really don't think so. I think these guys know they have a job to do, and they're out there rallying around him, I'm sure, giving him some support in the clubhouse and the dugout. But for him, it's affecting him the most, I believe, and naturally it would.
Trade deadline, of course, coming up where you don't need waivers. You can still trade after July 31st, but you need the guys to clear waivers. So at this point in the non-waiver area, what are a couple of guys that you're looking at? What are some needs?
Well, of course, we've heard that the Pirates have been scouting, the Tampa Bay Rays pitcher du jour of the week. That could be Chris Archer, Jake Odorizzi, or Matt Moore, or even Drew Smyly. The common theme among all those pitchers is they are controllable, which is a little bit of a surprise considering that, Neil Huntington has built up his system to be good in the pitching rotation for years to come with Glasnow, Taillon, Brault, Cole, and then Garrett Cole still in the fold. So that's a bit surprising. It speaks to maybe Huntington is employing a very slight change of philosophy and spinning some of these prospects, which, you could be the best prospect in the world, and no one really knows how you're going to pan out. So he may be shifting his focus to being a proven major league starter. So we've heard those rumors. In my opinion, I really think the team needs that left-handed reliever, like I mentioned, in missing Antonio Bastardo. Mm-hmm. Clint Hurdle right now has no one left-handed in the bullpen to match up with in those middle innings, like I mentioned, to get a tough left-handed hitter out. So I think that's a big key. And I wouldn't be surprised if they came away without making a deal for starting pitcher, but I think bullpen help is definitely in the cards.
What about who would be dangled? Liriano, Nice, who's dangled?
Well, naturally you think John Nice, and he moved to the bullpen, so they're kind of hiding his shortcomings a little bit, but and then again, the market is probably already pretty damaged for him at this point, but maybe it's not, and I'll tell you why. John Nice is signed for the next 2 years at $9 million next year and $10 million the year after. Each year has a $500,000 buyout. Now, that's, on the surface, is pretty attractive for a team that may want to bring someone in just to have an inning the year and be able to get out of it if need be. But by all accounts, the 2018 free agent market for starting pitching is going to be much better than this upcoming offseason. So, you know, a team like the Yankees may want to take on Neesa's services, wait for some of their bigger contracts to expire, and then buy Neese out and pursue one of these big names like Jose Fernandez. So in that way, Neese could still have some value. I don't think Mariano will be remarkably shopped just yet. I think the Pirates still think maybe he can bring it back on for the second half of the season. But other than that, you know, Locke could definitely be included in any deal. I think they would, you know, give him away for a bag of chips at this point. But it's going to be interesting. It's the best time of the year for a baseball fan. And, you know, we're looking forward to it.
It's interesting that because with Kershaw out, the Dodgers are now doing the Tampa Bay thing as well. I know, as you know, you and I both know, Archer's name has come up repeatedly when it comes to the Dodgers. Any hitter, any spot, first base, for example, or is Josh Bell the guy that's the first baseman once they get him back?
Well, the surprising thing is that Josh, if you listen to some circles, Josh Bell could also be included in a deal, which is very strange to me because he obviously showed that he can hit at the major league level. I still think the club holds on to him ultimately. Other than that, I really don't think there's any position players that could be brought in. The club is pretty solid, you know, top to bottom, and, you know, with a great season from Sean Rodriguez and Matt Joyce, it's really not a concern right now. Plus, I think they made a very wise move in shifting Freeze to get some time at first base earlier in the year, so that if they wanted to move John Jay, so they have some options there and some flexibility. So I really don't think a position player will be in the cards for an acquisition, with the caveat that, you know, the Young Ho Kang investigation could change things.
Right. Obviously, and by the way, Johnny Rodriguez, Sean's father, is the manager here at State College. So just give us a rundown of what he has meant to the club.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, for Pirates Breakdown, I also covered the State College Spikes with Center County Gazette, so I had a good chance to talk to Johnny a couple weeks ago about Sean, because it seemed like every time I was at Medlar, you know, Sean would do something crazy. He would draw a walk off Clayton Kershaw, and the next time I saw Johnny, he would hit a home run off Jake Arrieta, so... Johnny told me that Sean brought back a leg kick in his swing at the behest of Pirates hitting coach Jeff Ransom. That's really turned a lot of these line drive singles into off the wall doubles, and, you know, good home run swing as well. So he's been a great addition. Can play, you know, multiple positions. Of course, I'm very glad the Pirates brought him back.
Yeah, Jason, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. It was great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll come back with more in a moment and wrap it up after this on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We move down the home stretch of the show today. Bill Hillgrove, great to have him on today. Jason Rollison, great to have him on today. Check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. 100.9 The Valley will be carrying the Steelers this year with Bill Hillgrove, Tunch Ilkin, and Craig Wiffley. And that will be on 100.9 The Valley. So let's see, 100.9 The Valley will have the Steelers and Lewisburg football. Eagle 107 will have Selins Grove football, Bucknell football, and Bucknell basketball, and the Philadelphia Eagles. WMLP will have Milton football. And here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, we have for you Penn State football, Penn State basketball, and Shikellamy football, and Shikellamy basketball, and the suit.
You betcha.
Heard you told me the suit was walking around the broadcast facility with a golf shirt on. Suitless.
Suitless today.
Well, how do you expect to make any sales when you leave your alter ego at home?
Remind me of Garth Brooks' alter ego, Chris Gaines. He did that one album as Chris Gaines.
Yeah. I interviewed Garth Brooks once. Really, actually, a really great guy to talk to. Seriously. Really.
Those Bryce Jordan shows that he did last year.
Oh,
those double dips on multiple nights.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just plays and for the most part keeps the ticket prices down.
Just played Yankee Stadium a little over a week ago. It was his first time he ever played there.
How about we had never done the other day? Tim says, yeah, Paul McCartney just wrecked the outfield. What? Oh, boy.
They got Gronk on stage. Rod Gronkowski was playing air guitar on stage.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Can't imagine if they won last year. Meanwhile, Jimmy Garoppolo is privately working out somewhere away from the crowd.
Just tell himself 4-0.
Let's get the Arizona Cardinals in the opener. I don't see 4-0. On the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins, I'm thinking to myself, this is my chance. The Russian track and field team, Russia has 643 failed tests, and it's not just that. That's for everybody. Oh, I did see the numbers, by the way. And for who has the most failed tests? Where the heck is that? Here it is. Okay, most failed tests. Stunningly, Russia's number one. You know who's number two?
East Germany.
Well, no, there's no East German team anymore.
Well, I mean, like back in the day.
Oh, back in the day. I'm like, East Germany. I mean, for goodness sakes.
Pre-wall teardown.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they tore down the wall, they just had their shot putters do it. India's number two. Belgium 3, France 4, Turkey 5, South Korea 6, China 7, Poland 8, Saudi Arabia 9, and Australia 10. So the United States isn't in the top 10. But Russia's first, India is second. Now, how bad is that? India gets like 8 gold medals, gets 8 medals for the entire Olympics, no matter what. I mean, they are not getting bang for their buck. Remind me of the old days when Billy Brewer was the head coach at Ole Miss and they got caught and sanctioned for cheating and they won 3 games.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.